I do appreciate you being here this morning. I do praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here. I received this prayer request, and I have on your newsletter an update for Brother Hilly. You can read that. That's the current, most current that we have. He's doing a lot better, so we thank the Lord for that. One of interest, Brother James Reynolds sent to out in his email, sent from Sister Z. Mick Fuller about her brother Philip Thornsbury. It says that he fell and broke his hip and has a brain bleed. He's in surgery at this time. This was sent April 7th, Friday. And I wanted y'all to be sure to pray for him. He just lost his son, Corey, last month to cancer. So do pray for Thornsbury. We have him on our buddy, so I think that's what they call him, Philip. On our prayer list here, we do have him. Also, the articles on here, be sure to read them. And I do say that I'm working on a new newsletter, different. I want to change it now that I'm retired and not doing anything at all. I figured I might do some more things. No, I do a lot of things. This afternoon and tomorrow, we're going to be planting our garden out there. So if anybody wants to help, you're more than welcome to come over and toss a little. I know you're not, so I just like to gig you a little about it. But no, really, we're gonna put a lot of plants in that thing just today and tomorrow. We're waiting on that Easter cold spell. I hope we had it. But we already have a few plants in it, but we're going to fill it up this afternoon and tomorrow. And we got more coming, more that we're growing is out of seed. So that little greenhouse out there is full of seeds that we planted. So we got a lot of tomato plants. We're probably going to have about 50 tomato plants. So anyway, we're looking forward to that. Rebecca and I are going to do that while she's off a couple of days. So we'll get tend to that. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6 this morning. First Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to focus this morning on verse 19 and 20. Although this whole chapter, as well as the rest of the Word of God, is good for us. So read it. Please read the rest of it. If I had time, I'd preach on the whole chapter, but I don't. In verse 19, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We're going to title this message, "You're Bought with a Price." And we are. We're bought with the blood of Jesus. If you're a Christian, you are the property of Jesus Christ. You are the property of God. He owns you. Jesus Christ paid for you. He went to Calvary. We keep saying that, but we got to start before Calvary with all the pain that he went through and the anguish he went through with the beatings he took after he was arrested in the garden and everything that happened to him. Someday I'm going to preach on that and again. And you have to look at all the persecutions he went through, and then he drug that heavy cross up toward Calvary and finally had to have someone to help him, and they got someone to help him, and towed it the rest of the way up, and then they nailed him to the cross and picked it up with him hung on it, and I assume set it in the ground, and it had to be painful. And he was there for hours upon hours hanging on that cross after the others, other two had gone. He was there alone on the cross, just hanging there with very few people that was around him that actually supported him. Most all others hated him and were part of them that shouted, "Crucify him." So we start our text scriptures here with a question. The first question is, what? The second question is, in verse 19, says, "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" That's important. Everybody needs to look at that. We are not our own. I get tired of people saying, "I'm my own person." You are not your own person. If you are a child of the living God, you are not your own person. If you're lost, you are your own. Go out and do your own thing. But if you're a child of God, you have responsibilities in the Lord. And we're going to look at those this morning. People. And go to 1 Corinthians 15 and Revelation 13 if you want to keep up with our introduction. In our introduction this morning, people are only creatures, and are the only creatures in all of creation elected to be redeemed. The only creatures. You have to pardon me, I've got bad allergies this morning. The only creature in all of God's creation that God redeemed, that God chose to make his children. Think about that. We're God's children because God chose us to be. Because man had sinned against God and brought death upon himself. Therefore, all the human race was born dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, he says, "For as in Adam, all die." Everybody. Everybody was born spiritually dead. And everybody was born dying physically. Death is the penalty of sin. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Not everybody, but everybody that believes. All the elect of God, too, is talking about. Therefore, the entire human race belongs to the slave market when they're born. Amen. Everybody born belongs to the slave market. And all those non-elect belong to Satan. I'm going to say the elect of God ever belonged to Satan. I don't believe they did. If God elected us for the foundation of the world, we belong to God then. Amen. And we were born belonging to God. Even though we were sinners, even though we were enmity against God, even though we didn't love God, even though we didn't want the knowledge of him, even though we were like the lost, because we were, in one fashion, we were never Satan's. Nothing belongs to God is Satan's. Amen. But we did belong to the slave market, and we did belong to sin, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Therefore, for the elect of God to be his, we must be purchased, or he must have purchased us from the slave market and from the power of Satan. We may not belong to Satan, but we were definitely under his power, weren't we? Everybody was born blind, weren't they? Amen. Everybody was born blind of Satan, weren't they? So, we belong to the slave market. We belong to sin. Sin hath reign over us. Sin hath power over us. But God redeemed us. Amen. The cost was so expensive that only one could purchase them. Only one could purchase us out of the slave market, and that was the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Look at Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name, talking about Satan, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means he was slain from the foundation of the world. That means before it. How is that possible? Because God ordained it. God elected us to be saved. God elected us before the foundation of the world to be his children. And that was made possible because God had ordained that Jesus Christ would give his life on that cross for our sins. That he would be the Lamb slain, the Son slain. So the purchase price was steep, wasn't it? And the purchase price was the blood of the Lamb, wasn't it? That we are redeemed at the most expensive cost of all of God's creatures. The cost was his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, for you are bought with a price. That's the price. That's the price. If you're saved this morning, you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus was slain on that cross. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world bought you when he was slain. So what's it mean to be bought? That's our first point this morning. Go back over 1 Corinthians, if you will, to chapter 7. What's it mean to be bought? It's pretty simple. And it's really simple to understand if you're a Christian, because you've already went through that process if you're a Christian. And if you don't understand that, shame on you. You were in the slave market of sin, and God paid a price for you. He bought you. He bought you from that slave market. He also delivered you from the power of sin. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You know, there's not a lost person living on this earth can do anything to please God. They don't retain him in their knowledge. They don't want to understand him. They don't want to know him. They totally reject God. They totally reject Jesus Christ. And a lot of them are pastors of churches. A lot of them are church members. A lot of them are churches, so to speak. Not real, but so to speak. That's what they call themselves. And they don't understand what it means to be bought, because they weren't. Listen closely to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23. You are bought with a price. What's the Lord say after that? Be you not servants of men. That's not a request. That's not an option. A lot of people treat it like a request. A lot of Christians treat it like an option, but it's not. Amen. It's like the Ten Commandments are not ten suggestions. It's like all the other commandments of the Bible are not suggestions. A commandment is a commandment. It is not a request. If you feel like it, if you want to, if you desire it. No, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said you are bought with a price. Be you not servants of men. The word servants means a slave. Lord says you cannot serve God and mammon. One will cause you either to despise the other or to hate the other. Christians can't really hate God. In their heart they love God, because God put that love in their hearts, didn't he? But they can despise the Lord. They can despise the word of God. They can despise the things that God tells us to do. No, I'm just not going to do that. No, I'm going to ignore that. That's not really what it says. With all due respect to the Word of God, you know, you hear all these different cliches, don't you? Anything to ignore what God just said. Well, God just said we were bought with a price, and that price was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Therefore, we are God's servants because we've been bought. We weren't rescued, we were bought, purchased, paid for. So we do not belong to anyone else. You don't belong to Satan. Don't ever get that idea. Christians never belong to Satan. They belong to God. He bought. He chose them before the foundation of the world, and he purchased them in time through that ordained lamb slain before the foundation of the world. While we do belong to the slave market, we do not belong to Satan. You know, there's no way possible that a Christian can ever be demon-possessed. Remember our first scripture when it said that the Holy Spirit's in us? Well, if the Holy Spirit's in us, Satan's not going to be there. Amen. Right? There's no room for God and Satan in you. Amen. Besides, the Lord bought you. He owned you. You're his. I'm his. We belong to no one else. We don't even belong to ourselves. Don't ever say, I'm my own person. You are not. If you're a child of God, you belong to the Lord. You act like a Christian. You act like a child of God. You walk in this world like a child of God. Amen. You obey the commandments of the Lord. Therefore, we're not allowed to serve another, not even ourselves. It's not there. Galatians 3, if you will. Your salvation was a costliest thing to God. It didn't cost God to create anything, did it? No. Nothing else really cost God anything, did it? He said, let there be an earth, and there was an earth. Didn't cost him a dime, did it? He said, let there be light, and there was light, weren't they? He said, let there be plants, let there be a sea, let there be firmament, let there be a heavens, let there be solar system, let there be a sun and moon and stars. All of that was there, wasn't it? He just spoke it into existence. Took a little dirt, whatever he needed, made everything, no cost to him. But we cost him. He had to pay for us. Amen. He commands us to serve him. Amen. He commands us to serve him as a master, as a slave would serve their master. God's not our daddy. He's not our pappy. He's our master. We call him Father because he's our heavenly Father. But in the same words, he's also our master, our Lord, isn't he? Jesus may be our brother in Christ and joint heir with us, but he's also our master, isn't he? He has many titles, many crowns, both of them. And they wear them all, and we are to respect each and every one of them. Listen closely to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us, paid a ransom for us. That's what redeem means. It means to pay a ransom for. Christ had redeemed us from the curse. Christ had redeemed us from condemnation. Christ has paid a price for us to be redeemed from condemnation of the law. The law condemned us. Paul says in Galatians, it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's a teacher. It's not part of salvation. Salvation has nothing to do with the law. Salvation has nothing to do with works. The law condemns us. You can't condemn and justify together. The law is our condemner. Say, well, God condemns. He condemned us because of the law. Why did he condemn Adam and Eve? Because they broke God's law. What was his law? Not to eat of the forbidden fruit. Forbidden means don't touch it. Don't eat it. It's best not even to look at it. I wonder what that feels like. I wonder what it tastes like. Like going shopping with a woman. Here I go. You go down the store and go through Walmart, get a loaf of bread, come out with two buggies of stuff. You know what I mean? They go on Amazon, they buy 15 items, and they send 14 of them back and order 14 more. I'll hear about that when I get home. That's okay. Deuteronomy 21, if you will. So he was made a curse for us. I'm sorry, I didn't finish that verse. He was made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Now go to Deuteronomy 21. Listen, what did you say? Cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. What's God say? If you eat a forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. You break God's law, you're going to die. You're cursed. Cursed. Go to Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 and 23. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, stop there for a second. What sin is worthy of death? Any sin. Right? Any sin is worthy of death. And he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, and his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land may be defiled, may be not defiled, which the Lord God hath given thee for an inheritance. The object is to keep away sin, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying people are hung on a cross for, you know, breaking one of God's laws, but God said sin is death. Do you not? Sin is anything that is broken of God's laws. Anything broken of God's commandments. But the purpose here is, those that's hung on trees is hung there because of sin. They're hung there because they're cursed. So Jesus Christ, without question, was condemned by the Father, because he took our condemnation to redeem us or to buy us from the sin market. That's the only reason he died on that cross. See, Jesus was condemned to death for us. Amen. He literally went to Calvary and was our sin barrier. He died because of us. For our redemption, to buy us out of the sin market. Amen. To buy us from the power of sin. While lost people cannot do anything to please God, we can do many things to please God. Because we're changed, aren't we? Well, sin no longer hath power over us. We fight sin. We fight Satan. We fight the evil world. We don't surrender to it. We don't allow them to control us because we belong to God and not the world. Christians are not in reality citizens of this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We belong to God. We are His. The condemnation of ours was put on Jesus. His condemnation, His curse to death was for me and for you as a purchase price. Go to Acts chapter 2, if you will. The ransom price was the death of Jesus Christ, the most hated man of his time. Why was Jesus so hated? Because he's the Redeemer, wasn't he? He came here to interrupt Satan. He came here to give victory to a remnant. And Satan didn't like that. So from the time he was born, the time he died, he was hated. Not by everybody, but everybody except the elect of God. Today he's hated of everybody except the elect of God. And right now, only the saved. Those that's going to be saved don't even know Jesus Christ yet. All of this for Jesus so that God could purchase us. God condemned his own son. He sent his son to Calvary as a cursed man. As a condemned sinner. In Acts chapter 23 and 24. Him, speaking of Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Jesus' death was not an accident. Every detail of Jesus' death was preordained of God, the Father. Every stripe that struck his back. Every break in his human body. And there were many because the Lord says his was unrecognizable. Every piece of spit that was spit upon him. Every piece of clothing removed. Every bad name called him served a purpose for God. Everyone, every bit of it. Serve God's purpose and our punishment on him. So him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken in wicked hands, have crucified and slain. People say, oh, you shouldn't call lost people wicked. That's what they are. I don't care how nice they are. If old grandma is sweet as she is, old grandpa is sweet as he is, old aunt and uncle is sweet as they are, if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're wicked. See, we're not looking through our eyes, we're looking through the eyes of God, and all God sees in lost people is wicked. He doesn't see any good in them. No matter what they do, they're wicked. When the Lord talks about the wicked in the Bible, he's speaking about lost people. verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He's free, isn't he? He went through the pains, didn't he? Amen. The pains have been loosened. He's been raised from the grave. Acts chapter 1:11, he ascended up in front of witnesses who it was talked about in Acts chapter 1 verse 11. This same Jesus, angel said. This same Jesus, you see, going up shall come again one day in like manner. Amen. What's the Lord say about us? We'll be loosened of pains one day, won't we? We have pains. We have miseries. We have trials. We have persecutions. We have tribulations. And God has a reason for each and every one of them. Things don't just happen to us because they just happen. Nothing happens to us that God does not ordain. Nothing happens to us that God does not control. A lot of things in our lives are just trials for our learning, our education. A lot of times, if you forget about God, if you stop worshiping the Lord, if you just quit going to church, the Lord may put you on your back so all you can do is look straight up at him. Some people look at their deficiencies as a reason to praise God. I've seen them. I've talked to them. I know them. In my life, I've known people that didn't have arms or legs. People in the military that were injured. It's all to praise God for a reason. You may not understand it all, but it is to praise God for. I gotta hurry. Let's skip on down to our second point, and I probably won't get down with this. Sorry. So what does it mean to be a servant of God? The Lord says we're bought with a price. We belong to him, right? That's not my words, that's God's words. He says you don't belong to man, you don't belong to Satan, you don't belong to this world, you don't belong to yourself. You certainly don't belong to sin, you belong to God. Matthew chapter 10, if you will. So what's it mean to be a servant of God? Verse 24 of Matthew 10 says the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. We're under God. God's our Lord. He's our master. Jesus is not only our Savior, he's our Lord and Master. Master means he was an instructor, a doctor, master, teacher. The question is, who's over whom? When I trained someone to drive a truck, they didn't teach me how to drive. I taught them how to drive. They may have been bad when I got done with them, but that was my job. God's people are God's servants, his disciples. Didn't his own disciples and his own apostles call him master? Lord, King. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Christians are servants of Jesus Christ, slaves to do his will, and slaves to do his commandments. We are separated and called in him. I'm going to skip down. If you want to go to Romans 6:17-18, read that, that's fine. I'm going to skip down to our third point so I can finish this morning. I only have a few minutes left. Go to Isaiah 53, if you will, to our last point. So why did God do all this? Why did God purchase us? Why did he pay the price? Well, John 3:16 answers a lot of things, doesn't it? I don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. You know the scripture. For God so loved the world. Not the whole world, but the elect of God. That remnant. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. God loved them, so he gave his son. His son. His actual, literal son. The man Christ Jesus. That if we believe in him, we shall have eternal life. Shall have. Not maybe, not possibly, not if or but we will have. But go to Isaiah 53, we'll find out how satisfied God was with his purchase. In Isaiah 53:11, he says, he shall see to the veil of his soul and shall be satisfied. Amen. By his knowledge shall many righteous servants justify many. I'm sorry, shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. What's the important part here? God is satisfied sending his son to that cross, allowing him to be cursed for us. Wasn't a disgrace. God didn't hide his eyes. He didn't hold his breath. God did not look. God was satisfied. He ordained it. Amen. What his son had just done was to go to that cross with the sins of the very elect of God. That was his purpose. That's what he came here for. Go to Romans 8, if you will. So, we're God's. He elected us, he called us, he sent his son to die for us, and he is satisfied. God sent his son to justify us, make us righteous. And no one can ever change us. No one can ever charge us with anything. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 34 real quickly. What shall we say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay, listen to this. This is very important. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who has the right to condemn you? Anybody? No. No one has the right to condemn you. No one has the right to charge you. I'm not to condemn people. Who am I to condemn anybody? Am I more righteous than any other saved person? No. Because I was saved by grace through faith, not of myself. I was saved by the grace of God. Amen. By the gift of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like you were. The world may try to condemn us. Some more righteous Christians might try to condemn others. But no one in all of creation, Not even the angels in heaven has a right to condemn us. Because we belong to God, we are His. So who shall charge anything, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Listen. Who also makes intercessions for us. Amen. I'm free. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. All my sins have been forgiven. I don't care what the sin is. God has forgiven it through the blood of Jesus. That's not something we use for an excuse, is it? Oh, believe me, we're going to stand before the Lord in judgment, not for sins, but how we obeyed His word. Our sins have been paid for by Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, real quickly. And Matthew 11 after that, and I'll finish with that. He redeemed us from the power of Satan and sin. We're not under Satan's power. Hey, if we surrender to Satan, it's our fault. If we surrender to the evils of this world, it's our fault. One Christian don't have more strength than the other. We have the strength. We're just not digging down and grabbing the strength and holding on to it. We're failing our Father if we're not. Chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in sins, trespasses and sins. Wherein in times past, that means before you were saved, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. You don't anymore, you shouldn't. If you do, shame on you! Because you don't have to. According to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in children disobedient. Don't let him work in you. The Lord says to stand up, Satan, to reject Satan. Say, get behind me, Satan. Here's our conclusion. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We have rest. We have rest in Jesus, don't we? We have rest in Jesus. Rest, folks. Rest. Fight evil. The Lord's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the power. He'll give you everything you need to fight Satan. Ask Him. He says, if you have a need of anything, ask of me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need of anything, ask of me in Jesus' name, the Lord said. You're mine. I bought you. I redeemed you. I sent my son to this world and ordained him to surrender to the power of Satan and the wicked man and be crucified for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's all stand. Brother Buckout's going to come.